whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into this world to condemn this world, but that the world through him might be saved. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And he does. There is no one in this world who cannot be saved. Because God sent his Son. And then he says, you know, he was sent to the world as the Father sent me. We are sent to the world. Every one of us. Those disciples were the first of the church, and still today we have the same directive from the Lord. As God sent me to be your Savior, I send you to the world to tell them that I am also their Savior. And then God the Holy Spirit was sent into the world too. Acts 1:8 says, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." You see, God the Son was sent to us. God the Holy Spirit indwells within us. And the purpose is that we would go as the Father sent Jesus Christ to this lost and dying. That's what Missions Conference is all about. That's what we need to see as we approach this week of missions meetings. It's not just about giving. Or at least it's not just about giving money. As I mentioned briefly last night at the banquet, Those Macedonian believers that were the example of how we should give in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, they first gave themselves to the Lord. As we heard so beautifully played on the piano, "I surrender all." Wouldn't it be marvelous if every individual in Capital Baptist Church would surrender everything to Jesus Christ? You cannot imagine the effect that would have. They first gave themselves to the Lord. And then there's a little phrase in there, "and to us." Paul was representing the missionaries. He said, those people in Macedonia gave themselves to the Lord, and they gave themselves to us, the missionary, those who are going out representing them, those who are taking the gospel, that is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone, to the world. You see, you can't give yourself to the Lord without giving yourself to his cause. It's impossible. You can't call him Lord and do not the things that he says. So you have to be willing to give yourself to go, to give, to pray, to do anything that God would have you do. Be what he wants you to be. Do what he wants you to do. Go where he wants you to go. You see, Jesus Christ stepped into that upper room where they were so afraid of what was going to happen to them in their fear. And he said, "I want you to have my peace. I don't want you to be afraid. I want to give you my peace to calm your fears. And then I want to give you peace to obey my command. To go. Just like the Father sent me, even so send I you." And look at the result. He says, verse 22, "When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Ghost. Not many days hence, the Holy Spirit will come," he told them in another passage. "But here, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted to them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." Now what does that mean? Does that mean that like the priest, he can say, "I forgive you for all this," when he has sins of his own that he needs to have forgiven? No, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. You see, what he's saying here is that if you will take the gospel message to the world, Christ died for their sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried. And He rose again the third day. And anybody who believes that can have their sins forgiven. Anyone who refuses to believe that can never have their sins forgiven. Not by man, not by angels. There is no way of forgiveness unless the price has been paid. The price has been paid. But God gave His Son as a gift. And in order to have a gift, you need two elements. You need a giver, and you need a receiver. It does not become a true gift until someone takes it. And a gift is a gift. So if someone says, well, you can be saved, but you can lose your salvation if you don't produce enough good works, it ceases to be a gift and it becomes a purchased possession. You buy it. And we can't buy salvation. It's the gift of God. But He wants us to have His peace in our hearts so that we would move beyond these walls and out into our communities, into our state, into our nation. And God knows that we have desperate need of revival in our nation. But He's risen. And He says, I want you to have peace. I don't want you to have political correctness. I want you to have powerful peace. That's what I want from you. To go as the Father sent me. One more thing. I want you to look at verse 24. It says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. When you miss a service, you always miss something really good. He wasn't there. I don't know why he wasn't there. Probably by choice. But he was not there when Jesus appeared to them. So he went for another week with doubt and fear and confusion and no peace in his heart. But listen, in verse 25 it says, the other disciples therefore said to him, we've seen the Lord. A week before, what had Mary Magdalene said to them? I've seen the Lord. They didn't believe it. Until when? After he showed them his hands and his side. A lot of people don't notice that. But you see, Thomas wasn't really asking for more evidence than the other disciples had already seen. But there was a difference. There was a difference. It says, Thomas wasn't there. The other disciples said to him, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, which they had seen, and put my finger into the print of the nails, they had seen that, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. You see, Thomas not only doubted, he had a determined doubt. When I witness to many of the Japanese, their answer is usually, well, I cannot believe that. There's no way I can believe that. Shinji radenai. And I say, no, that's not your problem. It's not shinji radenai, I cannot believe. It's shinji takunai, I don't want to believe. I will not believe. Thomas was determined to stay in his state of doubt. You know, there are a lot of people that way today. They come to church, they hear the gospel, they get under godly conviction, and yet they say, no, not now, not now, not now. And they choose to continue in their doubt when all they need to do is reach out and trust him as their son. But he said, I will not believe. But then look at Jesus in his love. It was 8 days again his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus this time, the doors were still shut. They were still working their way into having this peace to calm their fears. They were still not going as they should be going. They did not have the peace to comply with His command. But here they are again. And Jesus stood in the midst and said, third time, "Peace be unto you." And then He said to Thomas, "Aren't you glad that though the truths of the Word of God are for everybody, they're also personal and individual, and they're for me? I personally believe that if I had been the only sinner on the face of this earth, Jesus Christ would have still hung on that cross. And I believe that He was personally dying for me. That He was my substitute. He was my sacrifice. Like Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. He was dying for me." And so Jesus looked at Thomas as an individual, didn't scold him or anything. He just said, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." You see, He wanted to give Thomas and the others the peace to conquer their doubts. Do you have doubts? I do sometimes. Sometimes it's not doubts of salvation. Sometimes it is. You know, when you're doubting your salvation, you're doubting the Word of God. If you have believed in your heart that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day, and you have called upon the name of the Lord, He has saved you. If you have done that, the way the Japanese verse says, if you've done that in sincerity, you are saved. And when you doubt that, you're saying, "I'm the one that has to save myself." And if that were true, no one would be, it wouldn't be possible for anybody to have salvation. But now Jesus is looking at Thomas, and the others are listening in and listening. That's why I believe in a public invitation when people make decisions, whether it be to be saved or whether it be to surrender their lives or whether whatever it be, so that collectively we can join in with them. Because when one makes a public decision, many times, many others, where they're sitting or standing, make the same decision in their heart. And in a sense, they say, "Me too. I feel that same way." And I'm sure these, because later, right before He gave them the Great Commission, it says again, some doubted. And some is a plural, not a singular, so it wasn't just Thomas. So as He's dealing with Thomas's doubt as an individual, He's also dealing with the doubt of others all around Him. And He says to Thomas, "Put your hand in my side. Put your finger in." But what was Thomas's response? Thomas answered and said unto Him, "My Lord and my God." I don't believe he ever put a finger in the nail print. I don't ever believe. I think when he saw the Lord and the Lord called his name, he knew who he was. And he said, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus said something that should thrill our hearts. He said, "Thomas, because you have seen me and have believed, blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." That's me. I've never seen Him, but I believe in Him. I've never touched Him, but I believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, I am more blessed, you are more blessed than Thomas. Because you have by faith, and without faith it is impossible to please God. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. You don't need to put your finger in the nail print because you believe what he said. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, Thomas had a determined doubt. I will not believe. But Jesus came and dispelled that doubt. Because Jesus had a desired decision that he wanted Thomas to make. And that's where we all are, you see. In spite of our doubts. That's why I like the definition that I kind of developed for myself about faith promise. Not me by faith promising God that I will give, but my faith believing the promise of God that if I will give, I will receive everything I need after that. I believe that's what true faith promise really is. Because our faith is weak. And no matter how good our intentions are, that's why so many times that which comes in is less than what was promised. Because we're depending on our own faith. And we're trying to keep our own promise. But we don't have to. We just give it. We just give it. If God laid it on your heart to give $100 a week, you give it. You give it. And then you watch God meet every need that you have in your own life. You see, well, you say, well, what if I make a mistake and my impression in an emotional time is bigger than I can really do? God knows your motive and He knows the intent of your heart, and He'll still keep His promise. He will keep His promise. And you need to trust Him. You see, He wants you to have peace in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Peace to not be afraid. Peace to obey His command to get the gospel to the whole world in whatever way you can. And then peace to conquer those doubts that will come in your own heart and life. My peace I give to you. It is my own to give. A peace not of this world, you now for me must live. Don't have a troubled heart and do not be afraid. You have eternal life. Your sin debt has been paid. The terror of this world can't take this peace away. Take courage. Do not fear. I'm with you every day. My peace I give to you. Don't be afraid to go. Comply with my command so that the world can know. Don't stay behind closed doors, and don't be filled with fear. My peace be unto you. Remember, I am here. Do not let fear control. Be calm, not terrified. The truth has made you free. Peace cannot be denied. My Father sent me down, His one begotten Son. God loved this wicked world. The work has just begun. There's much for you to do. Comply with my command. The gospel news proclaim to near and far off land. Like Thomas, you may doubt. I won't believe, he said. Unless I see the scars, I'll still think he's dead. Again, I then appeared. I would not be denied. That's why I said to him, behold, my hands, my side. My peace I give to you to conquer all your doubt. You are my Lord, my God. Like Thomas, now cry out. As God sent me His Son, just so I send you too. But do not be afraid. My peace I leave with you. Let's stand together and bow our heads for prayer.